smashing.
Hi, welcome. We're live on LinkedIn. You might be with us on YouTube. We're also on Instagram as well. This is a special episode. I'm with my co-host, Pascal. How are you, Pascal?
I'm very well, super excited for this very special edition of the Website Mastery podcast.
Listen, we are live right now. I know that there's a lot of you that are joining us on LinkedIn, perhaps YouTube as well. If you're listening on the podcast, it's going to be a bit different this episode. So we're going to take some comments and questions. There'll be a lot more live today. But we don't want to spend time editing this. We just want to get it launched on the podcast. So welcome if you're listening to the replay and bear with us. This is a special edition of the 90 Day Website Mastery Podcast, your trusted companion to the 90 Day Website Mastery Program and our book, Web Proud. It's our 46th episode. We're pressing pause on our usual format to bring you a timely and urgent update because the way people find and engage with websites is changing faster than ever. With the rise of AI-powered search engines like Google, ChatGPT, and Perplexity, traditional SEO just isn't enough. So that's why today's episode is dedicated to helping you stay visible, relevant, and competitive with 20 urgent actions that you can implement right now. So let's dive in. Pascal, tell us about what to expect today.
Well, listen, thank you very much for this great introduction and mentioning my favorite AI tool, Perplexity. But listen, you know, I've been tracking the evolution of AI in search and AI summaries has been part of, you know, the usual podcast series. If I may, it was mentioned quite a few times in our book, Web Proud, and actually we dedicated the final chapter on the evolution of what we called at the time, if you remember, the AI-powered website visitor. And a couple of things really that have happened recently that has made me and you wanted to do this special episode, which is the announcement, the formal announcement by Google that they're going all in on AI mode, and we're going to see some massive changes in the search experience, and as a result, we're going to see some impact on website traffic, on what people would expect from the website, and so on and so forth. And I thought it was really important to stop for a moment. So you and I put some ideas together. We're going to break down our recommendation across three key sections. One would be the immediate actions, things you should be doing right now. We're going to be looking at more particular on-site optimization as a second segment. And the third one would be looking at off-site
tech issues today.
And that's right.
Still with us. It might have been my side. You carry on. Sorry, Pascal.
And on the third section,
tech issues today.
On the third section, we'll be looking at offsite activities as well. Each time, we'll give you three tactics, three from Johnny, three from me, which if you do the math, that's six times three, that's 18. And because I love to round things up, we're also going to give you two bonuses. So we get just to 20 actions you should be doing right now to be ready for what is coming very, very soon now. It's a matter of weeks, not months, of the AI summaries being the default search experience for your visitors.
Listen, if you are with us right now, please do start commenting. If you've got questions, please throw them into the chat as well. We want to just hear that you, if you're here, let us know. And we want to find out what your understanding of where AI search is heading. Let me just give you, would you, Pascal, mind if I just give a bit of context to what's going on here in terms of the shift of search engine optimization to AI?
Some yeah, no, before I ask you for your top three for the essentials, let's go for the context and the why.
Yeah, so ultimately, SEO is changing fast. Search habits and results have completely transformed. And just to give you some idea of the timeline, I think I've got a picture here. This one here. ChatGPT was launched in November 22, which actually is, you know, quite a long time ago in tech. In May 24, Google AI overviews were visible on SERPs results on Google, and we were seeing click-through rates dropping by 34%. Come May 25, Google launch AI mode fully for the USA. This was at their conference, which you've got a nice little screenshot here, which was the I/O conference, sorry. And in fact, Pascal, just tell us a tiny bit more, because I've just brought this slide up as well. This isn't being rolled out, not just on SERPs, is it?
No, so, you know, they closed, obviously, the entire conference was about AI, which became a little monotonous, I will confess, because I was looking for a more, you know, kind of different perspective. But ultimately, the claim was that if you look carefully, in the right in the middle, you'll see the term AI mode, and that's going to be across mobile, laptops, you're going to have glasses, but every single product that are driven by the Google engine, if I may use that term, will have that AI power and AI overview, whether it's in a car and that kind of things. And I think for me, it was just that they were so clear and they were so precise about that vision for the future that I think it was important to discuss it today.
Yeah. I've seen people are chatting already, commenting. This is recorded, so if you just follow this link afterwards, it'll be on the podcast, it'll be on YouTube as well. Yeah. So SimilarWeb released a report only a few days ago that shows since the launch of Google AI in May 24, what's classed as sort of zero-click search, so people going to Google and Googling something, but perhaps getting the answer before they then click through to a website, has risen from 56% in May 24 to 69% in May 25. So that's 2 out of 3 people are visiting Google's search pages and getting the answer they want before they even click through to a website. So I think traditional search is likely to be gone by, well, 2027, if not far before. Search is no longer just Google. People are searching on Amazon, YouTube, TikTok, across all the different AI platforms as well. And the question is, you know, is this SEO? Is it search engine optimization? Is it GEO, generative engine optimization? Is it AEO, answer engine optimization? Is it LLMO, large language model optimization? I mean, ultimately, this is about being found across all the different platforms. And I think the thing to, I just want to add some context, if you don't mind, just for another couple of minutes, just to try and help everyone that's watching or listening right now understand what's changing and how this is all working. And I guess the thing to think about is that AI is acting a bit like a DJ. There's access to millions of songs. But the question is AI going to mention the song it's playing, or is it just going to play the song? And that's the key thing here. Are your brands going to be mentioned? Are you in the conversation or not? And I think the thing to think about is, you know, we used to think about keywords. So as an example, if you were looking for some CRM software, you might Google best CRM software. But AI now breaks that down into 20 plus subqueries. So it might turn it into CRMs versus spreadsheets. It might turn it into HubSpot versus Pipedrive, CRM for small businesses, CRM reviews. So AI goes off and sort of searches on all of these terms to then come up with what it believes to be the best across them all. So you might not rank for very well for the best CRM software, but actually if you're ranking well for some of the other things, then you've got a higher chance of then being in the combined results. So what does this mean for content? Well, it means more comprehensive clusters of content. AI traffic is small, but it's likely to convert 3 times more than Google. And the other thing to think about is the new search vocabulary that we use. So in old SEO, it's things like keywords, SERPs, ranks, backlinks, traffic. Now we need to be thinking about prompts, responses, mentions, citations, and visibility. So we need to change our vocab as well. The other interesting thing is that search queries back in 2020, a search query had an average of 2 words. So CRM software, for example, we're now seeing in 2025 an average of 23 words. 23 words. So for example, what's the best CRM for a B2B SaaS startup with 20 employees under £100 a month that integrates with Slack and has a mobile app? I mean, that's, you know, that's what we want AI to be able to then go off and find out the answer for us, don't we? Can you believe 23 words now, Pascal?
That's rather brief, because I write like such long, you know, prompts on AI. But what is interesting, and I want to kind of, you know, wrap up the intro and then ask you for your top three. We're still looking at the evolution of good SEO practices. We're still looking at good, you know, content marketing mindset. We're still looking at this idea of wanting to be seen and heard being helpful by your ideal customers. And what we're seeing is an evolution of the search service, not necessarily the search behaviors. So we're still going to be grounded in things that we are very comfortable with and we're very familiar with. We're just going to add to our toolkit so that we marry up to the behavior out there. Now, what came first, chicken and egg? Was it the AI summaries that came first, or was it the desire for people to have their search experience made easier or more relevant? You know, that's going to be for another time. So we start with part number one, which is this idea of, well, things have changed and will change for quite a while. What are your top three essentials? What are your top three kind of non-negotiable actions you should be taking right now?
Yeah, so I'm going to start, because I'm going to go with the technical aspect today, and Pascal's going to focus more on the content side of things. And so I'm going to go quite technical quite quickly, but it's to try, it's sort of all of these best SEO practices with some extra things as well. So there's a new file that we can create. So some of you will be familiar with robots.txt, and that was the file on a website that sort of, it sits in the back end that tells Google crawlers and Bing crawlers what it's allowed to look at. There's an experimental new file called llms.txt. Now, I don't believe this is, you know, not one of these things on its own isn't going to solve everything, by the way, but all of these things together is how it's going to work. So my first action would be to create an llms.txt file. Listen, you can use ChatGPT to help you create this file. You can also go to, llms.txt website being set up to help you understand it. But ultimately, it's a bit like a signpost to the AI search engines that basically say, look, these are our best bits of content, and here's a bit about this page, and here's a bit about this page. So my first one is llms.txt, and it's just setting that up and being that sort of signpost to say to the AI bots that here's our best content and this is what it's about. The next thing is to start tracking and measuring AI citations, so not just clicks but mentions. So even just using platforms yourselves, like going to ChatGPT, Perplexity, or SGE to test if your brand is being cited. So what do you think your customers would type in? Start typing these things in, having a look at what is being shown and what's not being shown. There's a tool called Write Sonic. Now, they've just developed there's a lot of emerging tools doing this, but they've just developed a tool to track your brand in AI. And it's not cheap. So I think it's about $240 a month at the moment. But having been on the beta and testing it, it is seriously impressive in terms of really understanding how your brand is being used and how your competitors are being used, to understand exact queries. And there's some real, very rich information. So depending on the size of business you are, that might be something that might be worth investing in. And the third thing is that understanding what geo is, understanding that generative engine optimization is not replacing SEO, it's expanding it. So it's about focusing on AI models as new browsers. They need structure, they need authority and clarity to use your content. So some of that's about trust, some of that's about authority. And not worrying that your organic traffic is going down, but thinking about, you know, are we being mentioned? Are we being cited? And what's being said about the brand? There's three for a starter.
Thank you very much. Great. And you know, what is interesting is that it is actually inviting everybody to reflect on how we're going to measure success, how we're going to be reporting. So if you are a team leader, if you are the marketing director or the CEO, you're going to have to start to support your team in terms of, they're going to have to be busier than ever before, but the manner in which they're going to report success to you has to change. And you're going to have to make sure that they don't feel too demoralized if on paper it looks as though the website traffic is dropping. You know, that's not the case. Can I just quickly, so quick hello to Victoria, to Andy and Norma as well, because I've spotted the names in the chat box there. So my top three around the kind of content element. So people will be pleased to know that for years and years and years, Johnny and I have been telling you to go long form with your content. And if you have, you're going to be very, very pleased, because right now, of course, this is all about making sure that you have what you need on those long form pages. So to begin with, you've all seen this before on many news websites, the too long did not read section, you know, that kind of grayed out box sometime, Johnny, with the bullet points that summarizes the key takeaways, sometimes also the reason why you should read this content or watch this video and so on. on. So creating a TLDR or key takeaways box or section just before the main body of the article, that could be a product page, that could be an about us section, do those, because they tend to be the little nuggets of knowledge that will be used by AI summaries. On the subject of, you know, AI summaries taking extracts from your content, go back, and if already you've applied this idea of breaking down the copy into paragraph and creating white spaces and making sure that everything is in more quotable or extractable kind of format, that's going to work very, very well. So number two, I would say go back to your long-form content, start to break things down, and imagine that someone could just take one paragraph or one section and understand, you know, what you are referring to. So almost like self-contained pockets of knowledge. And then number three, you've got to come forward. So you've got to be the named author. And importantly, you've got to make sure that you write in your own voice and be very consistent, because the AI summaries will actually put on the B list or C list or in the bin anything, oddly, Johnny, that is created purely using AI. So as an author, as a content creator, you know, bring forward what I call the elegant clumsiness of the written form, the real way we write and we speak, as opposed to the perfect way in which AI is putting together. So number three, you are the voice, you are the authority. Make sure that they are written by you. Put your name against that content as well. Make sure you sign off properly and so on and so forth. But they would be my top three, which ideally are simply building on what you've done already.
Yeah, interestingly, about mentioning your name that's authored the content, so Google authorship, some of you might be familiar with, that's coming back. So that's about having a link to the author page, the about you, the sort of any awards, any accreditations, and building that trust to then semantically link that author to that content, and that builds that trust. Really good points there, Pascal. Ned and Nikki and Gwen are also with us, so hi to you. Feel free to drop your questions in the comments, we'll come to them afterwards, but it's great to have you all here.
Can we move on to part two then? And so these are the essentials, six of them that you can do immediately. So now that we have more time, now we have the essentials, you know, already in place, what are the on-site optimizations? So what can we do on the website itself to be essentially friendly to the AI summary and to the AI search?
Yeah, so I've talked about schema for a long time. And that's about structuring content. So my first out of the next three, my first one's going to focus on structured data. So it's about using schema, which I've said for a long time, but it's about taking it even to the next level. So you can, for example, use organization schema, but you can, within that, you can use things like same as, which is, you know, this organization is the same as this official LinkedIn profile, this official Twitter account. But you can use things like known for, where you can then put, you know, known for whatever your business is. So thinking about the sort of the sector or the industry, and area served. So within that, you can either UK wide or nationwide. And I think I'll come on to the phrase UK wide and nationwide a bit later on anyway. But structure, using schema, but taking it to a much deeper level, and using different types of schema. So FAQ schema, of course, but how to schema. So that's a really good one. So coming up within your content, and I love what you were saying about the too long don't read part at the top, having that sort of summary that potentially AI would then use as a summary, having those bullet points right at the top as well. But within the content of the page, having a section, a how-to section. So perhaps you've got a question, you then, you know, step one, step two, step three, and you can mark that up using how-to schema, and AI loves that type of stuff. Rewrite. So thinking about, so my number two in this section would be thinking about using the location within your headings. So if you're you know, just focusing on a let's say a Yorkshire audience or a Leeds audience, you might want to be mentioning the word Leeds, mentioning the word Yorkshire, mentioning some of the towns within some of the headings. If you're nationwide or worldwide, you want to start using UK-wide, nationwide, worldwide within some of the headings on the page. Now, some of this can start feeling a bit spammy. And, you know, if we go back many years, there was the sort of SEO spammy versus brand and usability and how the user feels. You know, there's no question here that it has to be focused on the user. But you have to also think of the AI engines and you have to understand how they work. And adding that UK-wide and nationwide really helps them understand what's going on. Also boldening phrases as well within your content. It's nothing new from an SEO point of view, but we're seeing it make a big difference. And then the third one would be making sure that your website is crawlable for AI systems and that the site loads quickly, that you're using proper semantic HTML, you're not hiding stuff with JavaScript. AI crawlers hate JavaScript, they hate hidden content. So it's about making sure that, that the structure's really rewarding for an AI bot. And lastly, making sure that your server isn't blocking the bots, because Cloudflare came out only a day or two ago saying that they're going to have a default setting that they're going to block AI bots because publishers are not wanting AI to steal their content and they want to be paid for that content. So the Cloudflare is going for the default of blocking AI bots. Well, if you want to be part of the conversation, if you want your brand in there, you need to make sure that you're not blocking the AI bots. You can turn that off on Cloudflare. You need to make sure, check in with your host or your server provider and make sure that you are allowing AI bots onto your site. And Rightsonic, just very quickly, I mentioned their brand earlier for tracking mentions within AI engines, have another tool that also tracks what bots are visiting your site and when and how often and the different types of bots. So that gives you a bit of visibility as well. That's my next three. Pascal.
Thank you very much. I remind everybody, you know, we'll be able to give you a checklist of all the things we're sharing today. So I know you'll be making notes and so on, but we also will have a little handout. We'll tell you how to get hold of that in a minute. Just quickly, thank you to Teresa and LinkedIn user. They liked my elegant clumsiness statement earlier. That's pretty much how we run the podcast anyway, isn't it?
It certainly is.
So in that section on on-site optimization, very quickly, I want to talk about the content elements. So you've got the great architecture. Thanks to Johnny. And I want to ask everybody, so when you use ChatGPT, Gemini, Perplexity, my favorite, and so on, have you noticed how as you go through the exchange with the AI assistant, there are then some suggestions? So you have the interaction, then at the bottom you have 3, 4, 5 sometimes suggestions about the follow-up questions or the follow-up, you know, conversation you should be having. Use that to your advantage, because essentially I think that we should all start to write our content and expand our content using that kind of AI follow-ups or AI suggestions model. So here's the thing I want people to do. Go on Google, you know, the old-fashioned way of doing things. Go on Bing. And then what you should do against your the terms that would identify your services or maybe the questions that you would be answering, I want you to kind of scroll, easy on the laptop, I will argue, and look for the people also ask or the people also search boxes. And usually you'll find that you have 5, 6 different suggestions about related searches and related queries. And I want you to kind of jot them down, because these are essentially the suggestion, the ideas of the content that you should be creating to supplement what you do already. So you have the your star content, and then below you should be making suggestions to link to other kind of content and get people to stay longer on your website, Johnny, to begin with, but also for the AI to see that you have followed the logic that they would follow themselves, means that extracts from your website are more likely to be featured. So write with AI follow-ups in mind and seek them out. Number one, a very, very micro tactic, Johnny, but I want people to completely rethink the About Us section. You know, I think people are far too modest to begin with. So it's usually very brief, it's very succinct, and therefore likes, you know, content, context, and so on. So I want people to imagine that they are actually being interviewed by a journalist. So use Q&A format for your extended biography. So that makes it more interesting to read anyway. But because you have the Q&A journey, that create the quotable, the extractable summary sections for AI about what you do and what you've been up to, particularly if you want to give a bit of a potted history of your career. And within that, don't hesitate, of course, within the Q&A with that journalist. And by the way, AI can be a very good journalist if you write the brief correctly. Don't hesitate to drop the location specific information, as Johnny mentioned. And then eventually, for me, most of us by now will have quite a content-rich website. And what's going to be very, very helpful for the AI search experience and the AI summaries is for you to start to organize your content into clusters and start to bring them together into little mini hubs or mini groupings. You can use navigation for that. You can use all sort of things. And Johnny's got a great tip for you at the end of this recording. But I think for the searcher to begin with, and then for the AI summaries, to have pages about the same theme but spread across the website can become very, very complicated to understand. So can you bring it together into mini hubs and mini groupings on your website around the central theme or a content cluster? That would be very helpful for both humans and AI.
Yeah, I mean, what you're tapping into there in that last point is internal linking. So important to really help the AI engines understand those clusters really well. So making sure that all the copy, all the pages that are within that cluster are really linking heavily to each other, using the right anchor text, etc. LinkedIn user, I'm doing a lot of backlinking at the moment to build my presence and content across different platforms. I'm going to be talking about offsite shortly. It's also worth mentioning, as Pascal said, we are going to give you a checklist. If you would like the checklist, you just need to comment on LinkedIn or on YouTube, wherever you are, or Instagram, wherever you're watching, the word checklist, and we will come back to you and we'll send you the checklist. If you are following us on the podcast afterwards, just reach out onto any of our social platforms and just write the word AI checklist and we'll find you and we'll send it to you with absolute pleasure. Shall we go to our next segment?
Yes, I mean, we said, you know, ultimately this is the evolution of SEO, and one of the signals that the search engines are looking for are others validating, you know, your claims, that you know what you're doing, that, you know, the advice you share is indeed valid. So that kind of confirmation and concurrence of information is very, very important. So offsite optimization, the signals, the reputation, all those things. What has been the impact of AI summaries and what can we do about it? What are your top three, Johnny?
Yeah, and just before I do that, hello to Miguel and Rob Wilkinson there. We'll come back to your questions afterwards. Hopefully we'll have some time. Louise, good to see you, and Shelley as well. So yeah, please do keep asking questions on the comments, and if you want the checklist, just type checklist. You were asking for my next sort of offsite signals and reputation and the sort of strategic shift there. The next three from me would be, this isn't about links now, this is about heavily about mentions. So I think you need to start tracking mentions across not just AI search, but also other news websites and other platforms as well. So have a look at tools like Brand24, SEMrush, or Mention, to start monitoring your brand and to start understanding where it's being mentioned, so that you can start either engaging in those conversations or really trying to power those relationships and actually creating partnerships. You know, I was at the London Tech Week a couple of weeks ago, and one of my five top things that I took away from that room was, it's all about partnerships. So I think having sight of mentions then gives you the ability to create partnerships, because we need to be thinking about, it's sort of touching into my third point here, which I will come back to, but we need to be thinking about the future of visitorless websites. This isn't about getting clicks and getting conversion on a website potentially anymore. This is about a website being used very differently in a different part of the journey. So we need to really think about all the different ways we can start growing our business and not just relying on the website, but thinking about where the website plays a part in the journey. Number two of this section for me would be, in the olden days, in old money, we talk backlinks. Someone mentioned it on LinkedIn a moment ago. Here, we need to be thinking about conversation around the World Wide Web. Again, nothing new from an SEO point of view, really. But what's really interesting is, if you have a look at some of the stats, when you have a look at the answers that these machines are giving, where they're getting this information from is quite... you might not guess where they were getting it from. The ChatGPT, the majority of the stats have disappeared from me. And it's just, give me 1 second to get them in front of me. Hold on 1 second. So, it's great doing stuff live, isn't it? Right. So yes, this is what I wanted to mention. Google, I started with ChatGPT, didn't I? Google AI, 21%, 1 in 5 of their answers, where they give a citation, is from Reddit. ChatGPT, their second most cited source is Reddit, following their first is Wikipedia. And thirdly, Perplexity, 47% of citations are coming from Reddit. It's mental. Google are paying Reddit to have access to the platform. 47% on Perplexity. So what every other citation on Perplexity, the answer that it's giving is including a citation to Reddit. So what I'm trying to say here is that you need to start having conversations across different platforms. And the ones that I would suggest you need to consider are Reddit, Quora, and YouTube. So YouTube is about creating video content. Again, nothing new, but it creating different types of video content. So under 2 minute and long form as well. So a mixture of content on. So you've got shorts in sort of the vertical, and you've got long form in the traditional horizontal. And then looking at platforms like Quora and Reddit, because these AI searches are really trusting these platforms, whether we agree or not, and whether that takes us into a very dark place in terms of some of the thinking on Reddit is a whole different question. But if you want your brand mentioned, unfortunately you've got to start engaging with those platforms. And lastly, sorry, point three in this was the visitorless websites. So it's about reducing your dependence on visitors and rethinking where it plays a part in the journey. And are you sending people to the website for a specific reason? And what's the purpose of that website? And that really will start helping you think about the call to actions and the content, and having KPIs that are away from just page views, which I think is really important.
It's going to be important. It's not going to be easy, I think, to transition from that, because we do like to know that what we're doing is working. We do like to have signals that we're moving in the right direction, and for those signals to disappear little by little, I think we're all going to have to be supporting each other, you know, through that transition, particularly if you're a team leader. So let me talk to you about my perspective on offsite, which is very much, you know, as you know, Johnny, informed by my passion for online reputation management, and is building on what you've just said. So my top three, which are content based and reputation based, would be so for me, it's this idea of actually creating a mapping of what is working currently already for your customers. So who are your customers currently trusting, and what platform are they, you know, looking to for information? And actually, we have entire section on the book, and I made our apologies for mentioning it, because I know I've got some friends in the virtual room who have got copies of the book. Thank you very much. But for those of you who've got the book, on page 71, Johnny and I tell you how to do what we call the business investigation. So finding out what we call the trust network, you know, what are the platforms from website to news to forums to, you know, LinkedIn groups and that kind of things, who currently has the attention of your customers. And doing this mapping exercise is very important in redefining what you heard a moment ago about this search visibility. So number one, you know, do the investigation, find out about the trust network, and have a mapping of those websites and more. And then once you've done that, tactic number two, Johnny, is then to create an offer, Reddit-style answer content or Quora-style answer content. So what is it? Essentially, it's like an interview. You know, you answer multiple questions that build on each other, like an AI conversation, and you gift that to those platform managers and editors. So you come across a news website that is relevant to your industry. You come across a location-specific business support website and so on, and you gift them that Reddit style or Quora style content. You're going to very much love doing them, because literally it's a Q&A that has been transcribed. The good thing about Q&As, then they can form the part of a podcast discussion. You can be a guest on a podcast as well. So that kind of tactic number two, you know, I've called it in the book, memory serve, guest marketing. You know, get your content, not just a link, but the full content, the full article, the full conversation, the full video on someone else's platform. That's going to be number two. And then number three, I suppose, and that could have been just before, thinking about it now, you should, of course, get more value from the platforms that you have some element of control. So I'm thinking, Johnny, Google Business Profile, you know, you enter on Google Maps. Should we go back to it and look after it better, and make sure that we put all that amazing content, not just on the website, but on Google Business Profile? Can we just make a bit more of an effort, which I know you've mentioned in the previous episodes, about getting reviews? But in some sectors, You know, there'll be some niche directories, there'll be Trustpilot, there'll be Checkatrade. We all have, you know, sector-specific kind of hubs of information. So can you do a bit more to be featured there to play that confirmation or concurrence element that is a signal for search engines and make sure that at least you have visibility, not just with the platform that you own and control, but of course the others. And that would be my top three, which makes it 18. So we still have to talk about the bonus actions.
It does. Yeah, Google Business Profile absolutely is part of it. And this is about posting content on there, just like you would on a social channel, and also adding FAQs to it as well. Really, really good way of getting into that Google AI overviews. For absolute sure. I've just put a couple of links in the chat.
Thank you.
Shameless plug for the book, of course, on there. But also, if you're interested about where Reddit's come from and the stats and what's going on behind the scenes in terms of what platforms are using in terms of citations, I've just put a link in there onto a tryprofound.com, which has some really good insights into where this data's come from. So it's worth a read. Should we go to our next bonus section?
Yeah, so move on to number 19. What would be your bonus action, Johnny?
Yeah, so some of this I think we've sort of talked about, but it's really, and in fact someone was asking on the chat, I think it might have been Miguel, about what does clusters mean. You could see it as categories on blogs, but I think it's much more than that. So it's about a topic, coming up with a topic and having a number of different things around that. So blogs would be one thing, whether it be articles, how-to guides, calculators. What you want to do is not be vanilla in any of this. You want to try and be create something that's unique, create something that's different. It can't just make it vanilla. It has to either include your brand name or some kind of link, because perhaps you've got some kind of resource that's a bit different. Some kind of, you know, a calculator would be a perfect example. Some kind of link magnet, we used to call it in the olden days. So it's about having some kind of cluster hub that maybe consolidates things like authoritative content, lots of stats that you've that you can share, which again aren't necessarily available on the web elsewhere. Perhaps any press mentions to bring that trust and authority, including awards as well. And like I've sort of said, original insights, that's what you want to bring. So into all content, you want to try and bring some numbers into content. You want to try and bring some stats and some quotes from either from internal staff members, but also testimonials from clients or customers as well, and sort of bringing all those elements into that one page, but then having multiple pages around those different topic, around that one topic, that then becomes a cluster, and everything is internally linked to. So within that one page might be a guide, one page might be a blog. You might have multiple guides, multiple blogs, multiple service page, all creating this cluster of content that you're signaling lots of trust in there and internally linking to each other. So yeah, creating citation hubs that are an internally linked area on your website for a cluster.
Do you know what's interesting is that what you've described essentially is now what we consider to be the old-fashioned search engine page result. So what we are doing essentially is saying, well, on that subject or on against that service or with that question in mind, these are all the things that are currently available on my website, and there's some additional kind of signals of truth, trust, and trustworthiness. That is exactly the way a traditional website, search engine results page is going to be. And interestingly, that is exactly what Sundar Pichai, the CEO of Google, described as the future of search, which essentially the page would build itself in front of you as a searcher with all the elements from that organization. And they may even convert some of that data into graphics or into audio summaries, which they already and so on, to make it as media rich as possible. So fantastic. And this is easily done. Everybody's literally, it's not wishing to be crude about it. It's a copy and paste on a citation hub of everything you've got there. So number 20, you know, my kind of call to action, it's an oldie, but it's a goodie, particularly in the context of AI summaries. So I want to imagine everybody that you have a long form bit of content, and it could be commercial, it could be obviously educational in nature. And you've done maybe the TLDR, you've already done the summary in the written form. How about a summary in a video or audio form? How about repurposing and summarizing your best content out there with a short video, 60 seconds, and I would say even 45 seconds, Johnny, or even just an audio. Give them both. Do a video and audio. We do that a lot, Johnny and I, in our own websites. And because what you want is actually to be kind to the searcher, who may favor watching a video, particularly a short one, listen to the audio, but you might as well create multimedia content that would be part of the future search, you know, whereby on a page, a searcher will see options to watch it, to listen to it, to read about it, and more and more. So for me, you know, it's easily done. You know, you can check the stats. Some content is already working well. It's driving traffic as it is. So just repurpose up and create that short audio or that short video summary that is already pretty much, you know, you speaking the words of the TLDR function.
Yeah, I love that. And it's about different types of content, isn't it? It's about having multimedia to give lots of rich content. Someone was asking for those links. I realized that the links I'd shared were just appearing on YouTube, so I've now shared them onto LinkedIn as well. And yeah, just to remind you, if you haven't clocked, if you want the checklist, just put checklist in the comments and we'll find you and send you the checklist. That covers the 20. Do we want to go to some questions?
Yeah, let's have a look through the chat. I mean,
is that a good idea? I've seen Ned was asking, is LinkedIn a source? So it absolutely is. So one of the tactics is LinkedIn articles. They are totally searchable. They have a lot of weight. They build authority. It would absolutely be, I mean, there's so many things you can do, isn't there? But it would absolutely be part of my roadmap, LinkedIn articles, with no doubt whatsoever. What have you spotted, Pascal?
Oh, on that very subject, if you're doing LinkedIn articles, even just LinkedIn posts that work well, make sure that they are also posted on your Google Business profile, you know, because you might as well, you know, you've done all the hard work, you know, you're getting the validation from the LinkedIn community that it's of interest to them. So just make it, carry it over to your Google Business profile. And, you know, why don't you do a best of LinkedIn post on your website as well?
Yeah, for sure. Listen, we only have about 5 minutes left, by the way. So if you do have questions, please put them in now. If you're listening to the podcast afterwards, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. And reach out to us on social with pleasure to find out if you've got any questions at all, or if you want the checklist, feel free to go to the 90-day website, mastery.com website, and you can use the contact form with pleasure to contact us as well. The session is recorded. You'll be able to get it afterwards. I am concerned AI may create a monoculture. Well, I think it's fair to say that we're all concerned that AI could, you know, do lots of things. I guess we're today very heavily focusing on not where this is heading in terms of AI worldwide, but more thinking about your business and your brand and how you can jump on the wagon now and not get left behind in terms of engaging audiences. So, you know, the question about AI is certainly a bigger one.
I've got a question from Sam there, just before it disappears as it's being scrolled up. Would you change the way blogs are written to be more Q&A formats? From Sam Lewis. So I would do both, actually, Sam. So I would stick to, let's call it the traditional way of doing a blog, which is that kind of essay style writing, and I would add a completely different series and look at the naming, look at the maybe the graphics and so on, so people can actually clock that it's more of a Q&A format. So I would do both at the same time.
And in terms of just a quick bonus, another bonus tip here on FAQs, I would absolutely be mentioning your brand in probably 20 to 30% of them. I would be bringing in some stats and some local words. So, well, again, you know, are you targeting local or are you targeting national? So if it's local, bring in some local towns. If it's national, bring in the phrase UK wide and nationwide. So in those, keep the answer short as well. We're talking 2 to 3 sentences maximum, and bring some brand in. Conversational content as well. Really helpful conversational content. Doing a lot of backlinking at the moment, so I talked about that. So I think the new backlinking is conversation on other platforms. It's LinkedIn articles. It's conversation on Reddit. Yes, backlinks are going to help, but I think that strategy is quite different now. Have you spotted any other questions?
Yeah, Gwen asking, do LinkedIn hashtags still work? Actually, LinkedIn themselves have suggested that they don't use them anymore for to be discovered. So what do we do? Well, I use them for me now. You know, I use them to be able to search my own content by using very unique hashtags. I sometimes use them just to confirm to the reader what the subject matter is, but for me, to be discovered tactic on LinkedIn, even LinkedIn themselves said that they don't use it anymore.
Yeah, it's good to see that a lot of you are doing these clusters, whether it be through blogs or linking from your own portfolio of websites to each other. That's really good. And notice Andy Turner, I'm noticing GPT quoting a lot of stats that have been completely made up by websites who seem to be playing the system. Well, yeah, you know, there's no question that there's hallucinations. You've got to fact check. Really interesting. So if you're interested in that, I'll share another article, which is if fake Windows keys can get into the AI, then our brands can. Really, really great article. I'll put it onto YouTube and LinkedIn now. Really worth a read. Highly recommend it. Any other questions there? I think we've covered all the questions, Pascal.
Yeah, I've done very well. So listen, everybody, it was very enjoyable for us to capture all that thinking. We think we've been tracking for a while now. I would say for a good year and a half, I've been talking about the future of search and AI summaries and what's coming and so on and so forth. And the trigger event, as some of you will know from how we started this, was that conference hosted by Google, 3-day conference, where they talked about AI search, the experience for the searchers, not necessarily for the businesses. So what we wanted to do is translate what that meant to us. And hopefully those 20 actions are going to be very helpful. You don't have to do all of them at the same time. We don't recommend it whatsoever. Just start, by making sure that you're well-established SEO practices are in place, and then you can build on that, and the checklist will keep you right. But thank you very much for being with us, because we enjoyed preparing for this special episode, and we enjoyed delivering it too.
Absolutely. Listen, this is fast-paced. Things are moving quickly. We're seeing stats that organic traffic is really going down. I've seen organic traffic go down on up to even 65% in the last few months on websites, and that's not because of bad SEO, by the way. AI is really changing how search happens. Thank you so much for joining us. If this has been helpful, please do let us know. Comment on social. Go to Apple Podcasts, find our podcast. It's Johnny Ross Fractional CMO, and leave a review, because that would make a huge difference to both of us. That's really where you can move our dial, leaving a review. If you want the checklist, please mention it. Whether you've been live or whether you've been on the replay, we are so grateful that you've joined. This is a wrap for this very special episode, the 46th of the 90-Day Website Mastery Podcast, your audio companion to the 90-Day Website Mastery Program. For more information, visit 90daymarketingmastery.com, where you can book a discovery call with either myself or Pascal. It's goodbye for now. We'll leave you with a fun video and audio montage whilst you make tons of notes, or perhaps watch the replay, or start on that checklist. Pascal, thank you so much for joining. Everyone, for being here, thank you. We'll see you all soon. Take care.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you for the thank you messages.